Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're looking forward to being with you this afternoon and are hopeful that as we go into God's Word, and we look at the things that He has to say, that we're able to glean His truth and make the application to our life. This is a live question and answer broadcast where you call in your question. We go to God's Word for the answer. And we'll do our best just to say what the Word of God says and not to add to it, not to take away from it. It is our intent to just let the Bible speak. The Word of God, the Bible, oftentimes within the pages of the Bible is referred to as the Scriptures, they have all the answers for life and godliness. And so we should go there when we're seeking answers on things that pertain to life, things that pertain to religion, things that pertain to church, things that pertain to what we should do and how we should worship. We should go to God's Word for the answer. Now is your opportunity to call in your question. 308-9564 is the number to call. The lines are open, so call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Now is your opportunity. Many of you know that at the end of the broadcast, the questions tend to pile up, and thus we have to scurry through the questions quickly. And so now's your chance to go ahead and call in your question. The vocal line or voice line is 308-9564. Or there's a second way that you can communicate with us, and that is through 725-9283. And that is the text line, 725-9283. And thus we're able to get your text and we can deal with the question without any kind of waiting in line. And so if you'd rather communicate that way, 725-9283 is the text line. If you have a cell phone, you can communicate with us that way. But if you just rather use your voice to ask the question, there's two ways to communicate with us in the voice line. One, you can just ask the question. They can write it down and bring it into us. Or if you would rather go live, you can go live over the air and ask your question on the radio itself. The only thing we ask is be ready to turn your radio down as we start communicating. That way there will not be a confusing echo. And also, we need your name so we can be courteous and address you by name. And that is so very important. And so that voice line is 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. And those of you that are longtime listeners know that we have also a website where you can listen to previously recorded broadcasts and by going to www.biblealone.com. Bible Alone, one word, BibleAlone.com. And you can listen to previous broadcasts or you can hit the live stream button and listen right over the internet. Now, what makes this such an advantage is that you can also tell your relatives that may not be close or anywhere in the world. Right now, if you would like them to tune in, they can tune in and also join us for this broadcast through the internet. That is available. And just by going to www.biblealone.com, and thus they hit the live stream button, and voila, we are live together as we study God's Word. And thus we're able to let the Bible speak to questions anywhere in the world. And there are many, by the way. Many of you have spread the word to where that many nations, dozens of nations, do visit the website regularly, and we are glad for that. And so please go ahead and spread the word if you'd like. During this hour and a half, we will go to the Bible for the answer. That's what's different about this program. We do not, and please, we ask that you would not send us your money. Do not send us your tithes. Do not send us tithes and offerings. We are honored to give you the treasure that is in God's Word. And so we'll never ask for a donation. We'll never ask for any kind of monetary assistance in any way. Rather, it is our pleasure to go to the Bible and give you the treasure that is contained therein. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Now is your chance. The number, voice line is, and by the way, if you tell your friends and relatives overseas or in other places, let them know that this is area code 843. And so our voice line is 843-308-9564. Or if you would rather text us, they can text at 843-725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak.
We have a text question coming in. The last three digits of the number is 063. We sure appreciate you texting us today. It says, hey, I'm 17, and my name is, and she gives her name. It says, I'm wondering, how does God feel about men and women having sex before marriage? Well, young teenager, we sure appreciate this question, because I'm sure that there are many teenagers out there that are being exposed to a lot of different things on TV, through commercials, and perhaps even getting the impression that this may be an okay thing, what we call premarital sex. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible lists a series of sins, and I'm going to call them sexual relationships, that would be inappropriate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then it goes on to say, do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Well, my young 17-year-old, this really is talking about what you just asked about. Fornication is the Greek word for fornication is porneia. It's a general word for sexual immorality. And thus, premarital sex is sexual immorality. It is not something that God has authorized. Note in verse 9, he says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how does God feel about it? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. So those who are practicing premarital sex, they're in sin, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let me just continue reading this text. This is neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. That's those who go outside their marriage and engage in sexual activity. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no homosexuals. That's those who engage in same-sex type relationships. God says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 11, he says to these Christians at Corinth, and such were some of you. And so what that lets us know that at one time these folks were like that, but they changed. They turned away from these practices. So every practice that's listed in listed here is something that a person can turn away from. That is to say, a person can repent, have a total change of heart. And so a person don't have to engage in these things. We sure appreciate your question and sure hope that's been helpful to you. But God does not look fondly upon a person who engage in these various types of sexual relationships that are unauthorized by him. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
Or if you'd rather text, you can text us at 725-9283. We have Tim calling in this question. He was wanting to for us to explain Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Tim, thank you so much for calling and your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. In Matthew chapter 19, it's kind of refreshing to not deal with the first part of this chapter. And so here is a great story that Jesus tells, or an event that happened to Jesus. It says that after teaching concerning there was a man that came up to him who is entitled a rich young ruler, but it just simply says a man came up and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That's verse 16. And he answers and to ask him about why he said good, and then he repeats some of the commandments. And then in verse 20, the young man said, well, all these I've done are I kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, and here's the verse that you're questioning. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect or complete, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Tim, actually what he's trying to get across to him is he is doing what Colossians brings out, Matthew chapter 6 brings out. We've got to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Jesus even tells this story in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. verse 26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And then he even illustrates it with someone building a tower, a king going to war, and then ends it in verse 33. He says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So in this context, you'll find out three times he brings out that if they're not willing to put him first, they cannot be his disciple. And so, Tim, that's what he's bringing out to about this young ruler here, this young fellow who came up to him, that he had many possessions, and therefore he was not willing to put those before his service to God. And so he went away sorrowful. And so, Tim, that's what we have to do. God has to be first. God has to be absolutely first. He's got to be so much first in our lives that the whoever is next in line is not even in the same park, not even the same field. And so that's what he is saying to him, and that story does bring that about. And you probably know people that fit that category as well, how they want to serve the Lord, but they just want to give him just enough to be able to salve their own conscience. And they just want to be just enough religion in order to be pleasing in those among those people. Well, Jesus says you've got to put him first, and nothing can come close to it. To put any kind of thing close to our service to him is actually covetousness. It is idolatry. There are many other ways that it is condemned through the scriptures. So thanks so much, Tim. We sure do appreciate that very much. And hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, that's Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 33, and Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, 34. And you might want to read the first part of Colossians chapter 2 as well. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's our voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak. It's time for us to take our first break. Now, the information that we're about to give you is absolutely free. You will learn information in God's Word that you very well may never hear from a pulpit or from church or even in some of the workbooks of some of the denominations that they publish. So it is very important for you to know what God expects of us before we meet Him face to face. So you owe it to yourself, you owe it to God to know what He is going to say when He judges us one day. So here's the information. It is absolutely free. We will never ask for a handout. It is not bait and switch. We are glad to be of service to you and giving you this material. So be sure to not miss out on this. Here is the information on it. If you've already got the course, then go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564. We'll be right back. Live now, and we are honored to be able to be of your service, to be able to get to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your heart and mine. And so please don't miss out on this opportunity. There is an operator standing by there at the 553 number, 553-5157. So don't miss out on getting that course in the mail. By the way, it'll be in tomorrow's mail. There will not be a delay, so make certain that you go ahead and enroll in that course. We'll be glad to get that to you. Again, it will be free of charge, and we're happy to be able to be of service to you. And again, that's 553-5157. You'll learn things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. So don't miss out. 553-5157. There's also an operator standing by here at the radio station as well. If you want to call in your question right now, do so at 308-9564. You can either go live over the air or have your question written down and brought in to us. It is our blessing to be able to go to the Bible and let God speak to the answer of the question that is on your heart. 308-9564, or if you would rather, you can just text us, and that number, the text line is 725-9283. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, Leslie calls in today. Leslie says, what do I look for concerning the order of worship by the church in the Bible? And so if we're looking at the Bible and we're trying to determine what are the things that should be done in worship, and that's what I take you to mean, Leslie, when you say the order of worship. What are those things that we should be doing in worship? What's authorized if we're just letting the Bible speak? Well, now, the Bible shows when the church was established in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 to 42, that those Christians, when they first became Christians, the Bible says they continued in some things. And so they continue in some things as a church, as a group of God's saved people. And so those things that they continued in would absolutely be the things that we would need to continue in as well. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, then those who gladly received his words were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42, the Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. And so it would be appropriate for the apostles' teaching, that would be, you know, the things that these apostles taught, wrote down in the Bible, it would be appropriate for that to be taught during worship. It goes on to say they continue steadfastly in fellowship. Fellowship is a joint participation, and so they shared together. There was a spiritual sharing together. That would be appropriate. And then it says in the breaking of bread. I take that to mean the Lord's Supper. And Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 brings that out as that was also a part of their worship. And then the Bible says prayers. And so, again, prayers would be appropriate. And when we look at Acts 20 and verse 7, we see that the saints came together to break bread, as we read here. And then the Bible says that Paul preached until midnight, ready to depart on the morrow. So preaching would be appropriate in worship. And then we note also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, in Colossians 3:16, it speaks about singing and making melody in your heart, singing to each other. So that would be appropriate. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we see a collection was made upon the first day of the week. And I hate to go through that so quickly, but those are the passage of scriptures. Let me just run through them real quick. Acts 20, verse 7, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Colossians 3, verse 16, and then also 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. I hope that's been helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have Carrie standing by. Carrie wishes to go live over there and ask your question. Carrie, are you there? How can we help you?
Yes, this is Carrie Anderson.
Okay.
How can we help you? I'm praying, and
Turn your radio down, and there won't be any confusion. That would be helpful.
Okay.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I pray like every day, and it seems so hard to get connected. And the devil is really doing a job on me, and I'm just really needing a man of God, a powerful preacher, or someone to really pray for me, because the prayer that I give, it don't seem like it's working. So what do I need to do in a situation like that? See, the more I pray, the more fighting in the battle that I'm going through, it seems to be stimulating more. So how do I search the Bible to find the answers for my questions? You know,
okay.
What do I do?
Let me make certain I've got your name right. Carrie, spell that for me.
T-E-R-R-Y.
Carrie, okay.
A-N-D-R-S-O-N, Anderson.
I just didn't want to address you wrong. So, Terry, wonderful question, and something that all of us should be concerned with, because showing ourselves approved unto God, there is nothing more important than that. And so I salute you in that, and the first thing I would encourage you to do is to make certain that we are connected with God. If we are not in Christ, then we have no spiritual blessings, and one of those spiritual blessings that God gives to someone in Christ is that we have Christ as our mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Well, how is it that he becomes our mediator? Well, he has to cleanse us, and we have to be in Christ. And the only way that is done is not according to what man has come up with. Most major denominations today only teach part of the message. They do not teach the whole thing. There are those groups. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. All right, then. If you'd rather, you can hang up and listen on the radio if you'd like, or you can hang on either one.
Okay, I'll just listen to the radio. Thank you so much,
okay.
And God bless you, and you guys have a wonderful
day. All right,
day.
Well, good.
I must say, that you're doing a fantastic job on what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. And be sure to have pencil in hand so you can write these verses down.
God bless you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you very much.
And
so as we look at for the answers as how to get into Christ, that is so very important. Most churches today only teach a partial gospel message. They teach that most of them teach that we have to believe, just about all of them. Then lesser of them add to that repentance. But we've got to repent or perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. The belief, of course, John 3 and verse 16. And then we also have to confess our faith in the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Old King James and the New King James use that word unto there, suggesting that that is on the path to, but not reached it yet. And so when you go to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, it uses the word, or these translations use the word into there. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Also Galatians 3 and verse 27 shows that we're baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And so that step, usually in some of the churches they have a baptism, but they say it has nothing to do with one's salvation. It has nothing to do with the washing away of the sin. However, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Paul himself, after praying and fasting for 3 days, he was finally told when Ananias came to him, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So after praying and fasting for 3 days, he believed, obviously was penitent, had met the Lord face to face, was still in his sins until he died with Christ. Then his sins were washed away, according to what Ananias told him anyway, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And now Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And unless we die with Christ, we do not touch the blood of Jesus Christ." And then Acts chapter 2, the day it all began, we see that those people, the 3,000 that day, received the word with all readiness of mind and were baptized the same day. About 3,000 souls were added. And you look in verse 47 and you find out what they were added to. It says the Lord added them to his church, those who were being saved. So as they believed, repented, and were baptized, we see the Lord himself adding them to his church. They were put into Christ, and that's the way to have connection and for God himself to hear our prayer through the blood or through Jesus Christ being our mediator.
In John, the 9th chapter, in verse 31, the Bible says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." And so that goes back to what Ricky was just highlighting. If I'm in Christ, if I am part of the body, then Christ will hear my prayer. And Terry, I really appreciate your heart. You think you need to go out to someone else and have them pray for you. But you can have that relationship with God. You can pray for yourself if you're in Christ, and Christ will be the one that's offering that prayer up to God.
You know, my brother himself, one time, my brother according to the flesh, he called up and told me about his dilemma. He was going to had cancer of the liver, and he asked me to pray for him. So I did. And then I started writing him letters, sharing with him the gospel message. And then one day we asked him, "What do you think you ought to do about it?" He said, "Well, are you praying for me?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, that's all I need." Well, no. He needs a whole lot more. And so do we all. We've got to show ourselves approved unto God, and we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling if we're going to be pleasing to him and for him to hear our prayers. I may not be there to always pray for my physical brother, but if he was connected with the Lord, he wouldn't need me. He would have an advocate with the Father himself.
Now, certainly, Terry, we will be praying for you, absolutely. But again, it really starts with you and your relationship. James chapter 5 talks about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, in verse 16. And so, absolutely, we're going to pray on your behalf. But you can have that right relationship with God, and it may be, Terry, that you do, And again, you have the opportunity to compare what Ricky said to what you've done. And if you do have that right relationship with God, then keep on praying. Now, does it mean that things are going to get easy? No, no. In fact, in many cases, Satan is not going to stop his attacks. In fact, he may really pour it on.
Amen.
But that's where you have, again, comfort in Jesus, knowing that he hears you if you are right with him.
You know, but you might want to call the operator standing by at 553-5157. And we will make arrangements to sit down face-to-face with you. And that way you can see it directly for yourselves out of the Bible. You know, right now, I don't know if you're – I don't guess you could have followed along with all the verses I used. Hopefully you wrote them down. But it's imperative for you to have your own faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And so if you'd like to sit down, if you're listening to the broadcast, we'll meet somehow. And we will help you to be in Christ as soon as possible. So, Terry, why don't you take advantage of that? Call the operator standing by. Give her your name and information, and I'll give you a call later, and we'll make arrangements to have that meeting. Thanks, Terry.
Yeah, and it may be, Terry, again, you may be in Christ, and then that will also give us an opportunity to sit down and pray with you, to pray together with you. And so, again, we're here to serve in any way that we can.
It's time for us to take a next break. Terry, again, do give that operator a call. Here's the information on that and the correspondence course information as well. Those of y'all that have just tuned in, this is a live broadcast. We are going to the Bible for the answer. This is called Let the Bible Speak. And that's what we're doing to all the questions that you call in right now. There is one line available at 308-9564. And the text line is 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak. Do we have a live caller?
We do.
Okay. Kim, I believe we have a live caller standing by, and so we'll hold the break for a moment or two. Kim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, how can we help you?
Yes, my question is coming from Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 and 31, and I guess I can read it. Actually, I'll start with 31, and it says, I shall send forth my angels with the sound of a mighty trumpet blast, and they shall gather my chosen ones from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now, in that last verse, when he mentions heaven, is he talking about, okay, the ones that are chosen who've already died in Christ and are in a place of, I guess what I'm trying to say is a place in, they're kept in a beautiful place or something until he returns?
Kim, I don't know if this is helpful to you. I thought you were going to go a different direction with that question, but this is in the context of the judgment against Jerusalem, and so the whole chapter is dealing with what happened in 70 A.D. And so as you look at this, your question, let me repeat it back to you to make certain, you want to know who these elect are that he's gathering from the four winds, is that right?
Yeah, and when he mentions heaven, says at the end, it says the furthest end of the earth and heaven.
Oh, to the other. Okay, the Bible.
Heaven, yeah.
The
That's
Bible
what I'm
speaks
trying to figure
of...
out is when it says heaven, is he talking about the ones that have died in Christ but are waiting in a place of, you know?
No, this is talking about from one end of heaven to the other. The Bible speaks of three different heavens, the home of the birds, the home of the stars and planets, and the home of God. And
right.
So there's three different heavens the Bible speaks of, and this would be talking about the physical heaven or the home of the sky or birds from one end to the other. In other words, he will not leave anyone out on the great judgment day when it comes. Everyone,
okay.
There will be no one left behind.
Okay, so that includes other life and stuff? Is that what...
Say it again, you faded out on me.
I'm sorry. That includes all life?
Well, everyone will be judged. Every single person will be judged. Now, not everyone will be taken up unto the home of God, heaven,
right.
but everyone will be judged. There will be no one left behind.
Okay.
Make sense?
It makes a whole lot of sense.
Okay, Kim. Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you so much.
We sure. And by the way, you might want to do a parallel study of Matthew 24, Luke, I believe it is 21, and also Mark, I think it is Mark 13. All three of those chapters, if I'm not mistaken, are dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem. Combine them all together, and that'll give you a fuller picture.
You said Matthew what now?
Matthew 24 there, and then Mark chapter 13. I'm just going by my memory here. Matthew, Mark 13 and Luke 21 are the three chapters that parallel to that, and that'll give you a fuller picture.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim, and we sure appreciate you listening. It's time for us to take our break now. We do want you to know this is a live broadcast. Here's information on how to get a free Bible correspondence course in the mail to you. It'll be sent to you even tomorrow, so don't miss out on this. It is absolutely free. We'll never ask for a handout. And if you've already got the course, go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course that's available to you. We'll send that to you free of charge. Again, go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. So join us here at the station with your question, and we've gotten a lot of good questions today, so we sure appreciate your calling in. We do appreciate everyone listening. That number is 308-9564. Again, that's 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a texter whose last three digits end in 063. I will read this question. It's rather lengthy, but as I'm reading the question, I will give the scriptures that support the ideas in the question. But then towards the end of the question, we will see that there is a part of it that we're not able to give scriptures to. And I'll open it up for discussion with see what we all may be able to help me on this question. So it starts off as saying, from what I heard, God knew us since we were in the womb. So, yeah, that's correct. Isaiah 44, verses 2 and verse 24, a couple of places where that's it. I'm not going to go by just what you heard. I'm just going to show you what scriptures prove that what you heard was right. So, yeah, from what I heard, God knew us since we were in the room. Correct. Isaiah 44, verse 2 and 24. And I heard that our lives is just a day to the Lord. Not necessarily. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Mentions that a day is the same as a thousand, and a thousand the same as a day. It's not necessarily making that point of the time. It's showing that God is not bound by time like we are bound by time. So the principle there is that God is not bound by time. So not necessarily that our lives are just a day to the Lord. All right, and then the question goes on to say, and God is all-knowing. So yes, God is all-knowing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. So, yes, correct, God knows all things. And then it says, and if we were innocent as unborn children, we were innocent as an unborn child. So, well, the time we were in our womb, in the mother's womb, we were innocent, and we were born innocent. So, correct, once again, I agree with that, and that was Ezekiel 18, verse 20, that talks about the soul that sins shall die. So, yes, when we are first born, we are innocent. Now, the rest of the question is where we get into maybe the correction that needs to be made. So, after making all those points, the question goes on to say, and he made homosexual people the way they are, and some gay people are born like gay. And they have those feelings since they were children. So if God does not like gay people, why would he make them? Because he knows us and what we will do. Why would he condemn homosexual people from birth if we are indeed innocent? So, if you can notice from the beginning of your questions, I was able to give scriptures to support, you know, those things in the beginning of the question. Now, for the latter portion of the question, as when you bring in this idea about homosexuality, those people being made the way that they were, that's where we're going to have to be able to give some scriptures to help you out in that area. Nick?
Yeah, there's nothing in the Bible that says that God made a person a homosexual. In fact, if we're just trying to stick with scriptures, what we see is when God made man, he made him heterosexual. And we know that from Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, we see Adam and Eve in the garden, and where God is creating man, and he says he's going to make a help comparable or a help meet for man. What he does not do is he does not go out and create another man. What he does is he creates him a woman. So that text right there validates that God saw that the opposite sex would be a help meet or comparable to the man.
You know, another point is, let me parallel this to something we all understand. You've heard this expression, a boy is a boy, and that's exactly right. I've got grand boys, and I've got grandchildren that are girls. And for some reason, the girls want to play with dolls, and the boys want to take a stick and turn it into a gun and go bang, bang. Now, that's just natural. So is that the way it's got to be? Does he take that stick and then go get a real gun and go bang, bang? Is that appropriate? Well, no. He has to learn to control his bang, bang tendencies, or else he's going to suffer the consequences from that. And no matter if somebody is born with a tendency to do some things that would be sin, they've got to control that. We must understand, no matter how we're made or what kind of tendencies that we may seem a little different, that does not mean that it's okay to sin. When God calls something a sin, then that is a sin. And we've got to repent or turn from those things. Even if it seems natural for us to go bang, bang, that doesn't mean we have to continue with that throughout our whole life, especially if it is a sin.
And yeah, just to kind of add on to that, bringing up the passage that Nick read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it shows this idea that, you know, you're not born a homosexual. Those things that were mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, and he gives these things that people are taking part in, these sins that people are in. And starting in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. See, being deceived, when God tells us do not be deceived, it's a red flag to show us that this is something that people can be deceived in. And James chapter 1 uses the same language. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Whenever God makes mention of do not be deceived, then we should recognize that he's saying that because it's a common place where we may be deceived. And going on and finishing up in this verse, it says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 is key. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you. Past tense. It is past tense. It is something that you can turn away from. It's no different from any other sin that people get stuck into and get addicted to, and these temporary pleasures that people get into. They are all capable of being turned away from. So, you know, there are some, I'm not doubting the fact that there are some homosexual people who really feel and claim that they felt that way since they were younger. However, we see what the scriptures say, that you can turn from those things.
Yeah, I was thinking about what we do sometimes, and we don't really mean to do this, but the homosexual subject becomes such a target on the issue because, you know, seemingly people come across as if they hate people who are homosexual. Well, one, God does not permit that. He does not permit us to hate people, and God himself does not hate people.
Amen.
Now, when we think about homosexuality, what we're talking about is an inappropriate sexual relationship. So if a person is born with a desire to engage in an inappropriate sexual relationship, and God knows that already, then what I understand from the caller is maybe that should be considered right in God's eyesight because he knew that they were going to engage in that. You have to keep in mind that if a person was born, and most people are born, most men, unfortunately, are born with a desire to engage in a sexual relationship outside of marriage, what we call fornication. So what you have to agree is that God is saying it must be okay for them to engage in that because he knew that they were going to be created with that desire. You see why that doesn't work? You see, with that type of logic, we would be justifying every sin. We can't do that. But we have to just let what God says stand. And as we said earlier, we have to exercise discipline on every sin, especially those sexual sins. Very, very good. Very good question, and we sure appreciate you calling that in.
We are standing by for your questions to come in. 3089564 is the number. That's the voice line. You can go live over the air or have your question written down and brought in to us. Or you can text us. If you'd rather text us, you can do so like the last question was at 725-9283. And we're about to tell you about the correspondence course that is free of charge. We're glad to send this to you. Don't miss out on this important offer. It is absolutely free, and you will learn things in God's Word that you need before you meet God face to face. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Here's the details on that. If you've already got the course, call us right now, 308-9564.
553-5157, that is the number to call to sign up for the free Bible study by the mail. We call it a correspondence course. We send it to you in the mail. You fill it out, you send us the next course. You send it back to us, and then we send you the next course in that series. Again, this is a tool designed to help you, so go ahead and call the operator standing by if you have not signed up for this. It is free. There is no gimmicks. It is free, absolutely, and we will just send that to you, trying to help you in your study of God's Word. That number is 553-5157. There is an operator standing by ready and willing to take down your information and get that course out to you in the mail. To call in your question here at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number here at the station. That's the voice line. 308-9564.
We have a text question coming in from the last three digits, 342. Their question, I guess, piggybacks on an earlier question. Why did Jesus respond back to the rich young ruler with, when the rich young ruler called him good? I guess, why did he respond back the way he did? Well, let's look at it for those of you that may not know this. This is Matthew 19, beginning with verse 16. Now, behold, one came to him and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus, he said unto him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And I'm going to assume that we've got that last phrase down, keep the commandments, so we'll focus in on the first part. And that is, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Many times it is very easy for us in the form of humanity, how that we will try to compliment people in order to win favor. And that I take it that that's what he was doing here. Good teacher, as he was trying to win some kind of accolade or give him some kind of notoriety or favor with him. And Jesus was quick to point out, well, we should not be doing anything like that. We should be focusing in on the one who really is good, that is God. And so if he had looked at Jesus as God, Jesus might not have said that at that time, especially when we see how the whole thing turned out when he walked with him, turned and walked away. So that could have been the reason behind that. Some people just will say, well, he wants to glorify the Father, which is also a good answer. There could be a number of reasons there. Hopefully a couple of those will be helpful to you. If he was trying to glorify man and his stature, then that was needed to be corrected. But if he all of us need to know that God is the one to determine what good is and who is really good, and that is not in or of man. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Thank you for your question very much. Again, that's from Matthew 19, verse 16, 17, 18.
I believe we have a live caller standing by. Maurice, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How can we help you?
What is your question?
Yes, sir. No, I was just finished listening to the answer that they was giving for about homosexuality.
Okay, and then what's your question?
Okay, my question was that when I read in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, when they said these are the ones that went in the kingdom of God, it specifically says effeminate.
Yes, old
you
King
know,
James. Yes.
And, you know, a lot of people want to run to the New International Version of the Bible when it says homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can deal on homosexuality, but we also got to deal with King James said, with the King James Version of the Bible says effeminate.
Mm-hmm.
And effeminate is defined as unmanly marked, weak in love, and erased or heavy. I'm saying effeminate, quality, soft, delicate, and manly degrees and traits. And y'all got to understand, and my thing is I want people to understand, God is just not talking about the homosexuals, the one they consider being the flaming homosexual. He's talking about even if you got a desire to want to be a woman, to act like a woman, you still won't make it in the kingdom of God. You know, and my thing is that we need to really start, you know, saying, when we rightfully divide, we really need to rightfully divide it, basically, like, correctly. I'm not trying to dog nobody. But I'm like, but if we're going to go with the word, we got to really deal with the word, you know what I'm saying, and this rawness. It didn't just say homosexuals, it's feminine as well as men is having women like ways.
Okay, and I agree with you. Looking at the Greek word for effeminate there is malakos, and it does carry with the idea soft to the touch, and almost the idea of even a type of clothing, so suggesting a behavior, a type of behavior, a feminine type behavior. I agree, absolutely. Did you have a question? Just basically you want to say make sure that we rightly divide the word, that we give the clear definition of those words.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do because I just had a discussion. I'm glad y'all got on it because I just had a discussion with a gentleman that I had in my studio last night, and we was talking about it. And he was trying to figure out, like, saying, man, are you homophobic? I said, I'm not homophobic. I said the one thing that I hate, I said, I hate that sin, but I love that person.
That's right. That's,
I said, I'm not here to judge nobody because I have no heaven or hell to put nobody in. But what we got, when we as men and women of God has to come out there and do, we have to actually go out here and we have to witness, but we have to know exactly what we're talking about and we got to rightfully divide the word. You know, because when most people step to people, they know our Bible. But we, we too scared, we want to be too quiet not to say anything about their sin or, you know what I'm saying, or about their belief or what they consider being their religion.
And again, absolutely, what you're saying is dead on, and we sure enough appreciate you calling in with your comments. But when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when we use a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, one of the things that does come out is that word fornication, porneia, and again, that refers to sexual immorality, which in essence, in that one word, what you find is any type of sexual activity outside of what's authorized by the Word of God. And so no one can engage in any type of sexual activity outside of a rightful marriage. And there are a lot of other elements in that same text to include the effeminate. And so we're so appreciative that you called in and mentioned that, because we do want to be right. We do want to be right when we give God's word, especially across the air. And we have so many people listening. We want to make sure that they do what God says.
Right.
But thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you very, very much. We sure do appreciate you tuning in each week. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. 308-9564. We are glad to get your calls today, and we hope and pray that we have been of some benefit. And as we go to the Bible, God is to be the one that's heard, and thus we're doing our best to stay out of God's way and just let His word be what is heard. Again, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yeah, I just want to take the opportunity again to thank Maurice for calling in. Oftentimes that, you know, as we're trying to answer these questions, we're answering fairly quickly. It's important that we get it right. It's important that we not change or add to or take away from the Word of God. And so I do appreciate Maurice calling in. And those of you who called in today with your questions, we're so appreciative that you're taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen. And we're hopeful the things that we're sharing with you from God's Word is a help to you, that is aiding you in your stance, and as you're traveling down this pathway of trying to find the truth or live according to the truth, that this is being a help to you. That's our intent. We mentioned earlier about the correspondence course that's available to you. That's another tool that's helpful to you. And it doesn't go quite as fast as this radio broadcast. We send it to you in the mail, and you can actually study it at your own pace. You will go turn to the scripture, you read it, and you answer the question according to what you've read in the scriptures yourself. And that's probably one of the best ways to learn, for you to do it. You know, there's a passage in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, that says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so you want to get into the Word of God, you want to see it, you want to hear it for yourself. And in that respect, you're obeying God and not man. And so we want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course That is available to you free of charge. Again, that number is 553-5157, 553-5157. Also, we do have a website with some additional material that's available to you. You can download previously recorded broadcasts and listen to them and go back through some of the things that we've said, as well as some additional material on difficult subjects. That's out on that website as well. The web address is www.biblealone.com. That's www.biblealone.com. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
We have Sharon calling in this question, and Sharon's question is, why are the people of the world being blessed and God's people are struggling? Well, Sharon, I want to give you some perspective on that question. First, this idea about being blessed. First, I want to kind of bring to your attention what exactly is being blessed. I mean, hopefully I'm not wrong in assuming this, Sharon, but I'm assuming maybe you're talking about, you know, physical things that are blessings, such as, you know, maybe money or position or power or anything like that. And I apologize if that's not what you're talking about as far as people of the world being blessed. Please, you know, feel free to call back and set me straight on that. But I'm going to approach it with the mindset that maybe that might be what you're thinking about. And I just want to make mention of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, that shows there are things that are in this world that people may feel comfortable with and that people may enjoy. But it's clear God tells us not to enjoy certain things. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So there are these things of the world, this lust of the flesh, this lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that people may feel it's a blessing. They may think it's a blessing. If I get a job making $100,000 a year, people may be like, "Oh, that's a great blessing." But if that job has me working on Sundays and missing worship with God's people, is it really a blessing? Or is that something that Satan just dangled out in front of me to make me lose my attention and focus on serving the one true Creator? So we have to be careful of recognizing what do we consider as blessings in the first place. And maybe those blessings are just sin that looks real pretty. And that's the problem. Sin looks pretty. Sin looks good, feels good. And so we have to be able to make sure that we're recognizing what is a blessing and what is just, you know, some real pretty sin that we may be enjoying. But we see here that he tells us not to enjoy those things. So hopefully that helps you with the first part of the question about people of the world being blessed. That was 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And for the second part of your question about God's people struggling, well, you know, we're God's people. And the people, the children, are supposed to be like the parent. If God struggled with the problems that Christ went through and the suffering that he went through. So if we're his people, if we're his children, then we likewise should struggle or suffer.
I would also encourage her to read Psalm 73. Psalm 73, that is an old question. And in Psalm 73, it is a chapter devoted to that question. And so please read the whole chapter. It is awesome, and you will be blessed from that. It's time for us to take a break. We do want you to know while we are at break. Was there something else, Chuck, you wanted to add there?
It was. I wanted to add in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, that shows specifically about, you know, God's people struggling. And it talks about having been justified by this faith. We have the peace of God through Christ, and we have access by the faith in the grace which we stand. And then he talks about in verse 3, it says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So those things that God shows us here, that we should glory in those things because this should help build our hope and build our faith in Christ. That was Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. As well, also we could add in James 1, verses 2 through 5, and 1 Peter 4, 12.
Okay, now we're going to go to break. It is the number to call is 308-9564. We're waiting for your questions. Don't miss out. This is the last 30 minutes of our program, so go ahead and call in your questions right now. Here's the information about the free correspondence course. Again, while we are at break, you can call in your question at 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we are just so blessed that you have taken out time to join us today as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. We'll continue to do that. The number is 308-9564 for the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. It's your choice of how to communicate with us, and it's your choice as far as the theme and the questions. And so we are glad to be able to go to the Bible for those answers. We're in for a treat. Milton stopped by today with us here in the studio, and he's one that also took advantage of the resources from this radio broadcast. And I asked him if he would get behind the mic and tell us a little bit how he journeyed to find the truth via this radio program. And this story very well may be your story as well. And so I asked him, if he doesn't pass out behind the mic, that he might be able to share with us how he come to find the truth, God using this program. Milton?
Hey, how you doing? On certain days, me and my wife, we'll leave service, and we'll be riding home, and we'll hear this program, Let the Bible Speak. And as we leave service, we'll hear certain things that the service that we was, the church we was, wasn't saying the right thing. So what we'll do, we'll listen to Let the Bible Speak and hear different stuff, and I'll look at my wife and say, you know, what they're saying is true, but what we're being taught is wrong. So as we go home, we'll ride around the yard because we couldn't get a good signal from the radio station. So we'll ride around in the yard for a whole hour just trying to find our right location. And as we ride and learn, we find out that we was being taught the wrong thing. So we decided, you know, we'll follow what God says instead of man. So today, we still with Let the Bible Speak, and glad to knowing that someone is speaking the truth about God's word.
Milton, we sure appreciate that. And you may be like that. You may be on your way home, and you just left a place where you've gathered, and maybe some things that we're saying may differ than what you've been taught. And so then you have some questions about that. Well, don't just say, well, they differ. Go home, open up your Bible, and see whether it's so, the things that we're saying on this broadcast. If it's so, do what God says. If it's not so, well, then rebuke us.
Yes, absolutely. And Milton, was there some kind of question that was very, very vividly a contrast to what you were hearing versus what the Bible was saying that caught your attention? Was there something in particular?
Yeah, the Lord's Supper. Well, he says on the first day of the week that they met, we feel like doing the Lord's Supper wasn't once a month, now and then, it was every week. So we wanted to do what God said in doing Jesus' death.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, Milton, thank you for stopping by with us and being able to share that with us. We are thrilled to have you join us in this way. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Here is a text question that just came in. It says, that is a good question the person asked earlier about homosexuals. My question is, what about people who are physically deformed sexually? Is there a scripture? No, there's no scripture to bring out anything like that. And so the many times physical deformities as well as many other perversions usually are as the root cause behind it is sin. I know there are many psychologists that will say that just about every psychological problem, except for those with injuries, is caused by sin as well. And so that is usually at the root of just about every problem that mankind suffers today. And so we need to make certain that God is the one that we're following, and thus to stop the practice of sin, and especially the fruit of that sin, are a lot of the problems that we're having to go through. And so hopefully that is helpful to you. There, for example, deformities, if someone is taking drugs while they're carrying a baby or smoking or drinking or many other things that may be attributed to some of the sinful practices that we are doing. So I hope that's been helpful to you. But their Bible does not address any kind of physical deformities like that at all. Again, the number is 308-9564 is the voice line, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725 9283.
We have a call calling in today. It says, what does the Bible say about women pastors? Well, the Bible doesn't speak on women pastors. I'm trying to think of, is there a passage that talks about a woman pastor? And it doesn't. In fact, when the Bible talks about pastors, that word pastor means shepherd, and sometimes it's used interchangeably with the word elder or overseer. In fact, you can see that kind of interaction in Acts the 20th chapter and verse 28, where Paul says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed or pastor or shepherd the church of God. And so it's used interchangeably with overseer. And the word overseer means bishop. And in this context, you had Paul calling the elders together. And so, a bishop or a pastor, a shepherd, they're all the same position. When the Bible talks about these positions or give qualifications for them in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and also in Titus chapter 1, it refers to it being a role that a man would be in. It says in verse 2, a bishop, in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And so here in 1 Timothy 3, it talks about this role being that of a man from the perspective that he is the husband of one wife. And we see the same thing in that text there in Titus chapter 1, as he gives the qualification, he says, namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife having children who believes, and it gives a listing of qualities that a person has to meet in order to be in this role. And so as far as we know from the scriptures, at least if we're just going with the scripture, this was a role that was for someone who was the husband of one wife. I hope that's been helpful to you. It's time for us to take...
Yeah, just about to take another break. Let me add something to my previous question about physical deformities. The Bible does mention there were deformities and people that were lame and came down with diseases and such like that, and I agree with that. I understand that. But the law still says what the law says. The God's word still remains the same, regardless of circumstances that we may find ourselves in, regardless of how they got started. It still says the same thing, and it's wrong. Anybody can understand this. Many times when I'm talking to preschoolers, I will get them to repeat this. As when God says, wrong is wrong, right is right. Wrong is always wrong, and right is always right. It's never right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right. Now, if a preschooler can figure that one out, then what about us adults? And so God is the one that tells us what's right. And so we just need to listen to him, and then all will be right. So hopefully that's helpful to you. It's time for us to take our last break. We do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and we are happy to be able to give you information free of charge. If you would like to have this Bible correspondence course we're about to tell you about, please do not miss out. There's an operator standing by right now to take your name and address, and we will get this course in the mail to you absolutely free. You can go through this and study it and fill out the lesson at any time, day or night. And you will most likely learn things from God's Word that you may have never seen before. Matter of fact, this is a very common statement when we get to meet you face-to-face. Very common statement that we hear. You know, I've learned things. I've learned more in this short time of study than I have learned my whole life. You doubt that? Then go ahead and enroll in this course. See what you learn, and we will be glad to send it to you free of charge. The number is 553-5157. If it happens to be busy when you call, just hang up, wait a moment or two, and then hit redial. You'll eventually get through. And we're happy to send it to you free of charge. So don't miss out on this. Thousands of you have already taken this course, and we're glad to be able to send this to you. And again, you will never be asked for a handout, a donation of any kind. And we're more than happy to send it to you. Again, that will be a 553-5157. Now, if you've already got the course, go ahead and call in your question. We're ready for your question right now during this last segment of our broadcast today. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we're glad to be able to have you with us as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. You set the topic. God gives the answer. And thus, we're letting the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Go ahead and call in right now. And if you are wondering whether you should receive the correspondence course, don't wonder anymore. Go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157. We do have time for another question or two, so if you are if you have one on your mind, go ahead and call our voice line here at 308-9564, and you can ask your question, either go live over the air or have your question written down and brought in. Or if you'd rather just text us with your cell phone, you can do that as well. That number is 725-9283. Nick, do you have a question?
I do. Call remain nameless. It says, the question is, why do pastors let women speak when they know the Bible says not to? Well, we appreciate your question, absolutely. And again, this is another one of those questions that I think is falls into the category of the type of questions that we've received today. Very good questions. And again, what you're doing is you're looking at what you understand the Scriptures to say, and then you're comparing it to what you see, and that prompts these types of questions. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer. You say, why do pastors let women speak when they know the Bible says not to? I cannot speak for what you know another person may do or say, but this really becomes an individual's responsibility. Each individual, they serve God. And so, you know, the things that I do in worship, I do because God says so. And thus, all of us, and I hope all of our listeners are attentive to this point, and that is, you know, the things that you do in service to God, you should be doing because God says to. And the thing that you do not do, you should not do it because God says to not do it. Don't let some person encourage you to do wrong when God says it's wrong. And don't let some person encourage you not to do the right thing when God says it's the right thing. And so we have to all obey God. And so I don't put this on an individual, any group. I put this on the individual who has to come to a knowledge of what God says. And upon understanding what God says, they have to do it.
Well, you know, Nick, how does the word fellowship fit into that question? Because that's probably what they're meaning. Are they wrong to be in a fellowship where that is commonly taking place? Does that indict someone or make them accountable for those practices?
Well, absolutely. The fellowship carries with the idea of joint participation. So it's the idea that you're saying you're okay with this, you're on board, you're participating with it. And the illustration I give most often is that you may never go into someone's house and steal their TV, but you might just hold the ladder for the one that does. And so by virtue of the fact that you're holding the ladder, you now become a participant with them in that theft. Well, that holds true in our faith. If we support someone in wrong, then we become a participant. We share in that wrong. There's a passage in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, where God is talking about the Gentiles of yesteryear and all the various sins that they were given into. And towards the end, it's listing a series of sins that they were given into. In verse 30, it calls them, they were backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. The Bible says in verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. But then it says, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so it may be I don't practice these things, but I might be the person that approve of such a thing. And then not only is the person who does these things worthy of death, according to this text, the one that approved is also worthy of death. And I know what we're talking about, maybe this not doesn't fall into such a category, but it makes the point that I share in, I become part of a wrong when I continue to participate and say nothing and continue to be in fellowship with that wrong.
You know, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul himself says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what you have that which was preached to you or that which you've been taught, let him be accursed. And so if an angel from heaven will be indicted and the Paul as being an apostle would be indicted, Well, then we certainly will be indicted. We will be found unrighteous, and we will be condemned. Some translations put that word accursed as eternally condemned. It's the Greek word anathema, which is the worst of curses, eternally condemned. And so we cannot, and this program has been sparked because of the fear of what that verse has put into us, or what that passage has put into us. We cannot afford to pervert, change, twist, add, or take away from God's word without severe penalties given to us. And so you, if you're a frequent listener, you hear of some of these things that are going on week after week and day after day and in church after church that are totally different than what God's word says. Matter of fact, there are some of them that are so out there that I would even think that they don't even serve the same God that we serve that's revealed in the Bible. They may call him the same name, but when you see their description of who God is that they are serving, that is not the description of God in the Bible. And so it's a shame to see all those things happening.
You know, we may find ourselves doing things and we just don't know better. That will happen throughout the course of our lives. And then there will be a time where we will know better. We will come to a clearer knowledge of the truth. It is at that point that God expects us to do better. Now, he always expects us to be searching out the truth and evaluating ourselves to make sure we're doing the right thing. But he wants us, that when we find out that a thing is wrong, he wants us to turn from the wrong and do what is right. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You have to do what is right. Always have to do what is right, no matter what that means, no matter what which dominoes fall, no matter how it impacts a loved one. You always have to do what is right. You always have to obey God. May God be true and every man a liar. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. And we have a few minutes, but we will do our best in that time allotted to let the Bible speak. I believe we have a
live caller by the name of Luke. Luke, are you there? Can we help you?
Yes, this is Luke Tuttle. I'm here.
How can we help you? What's your question?
Yes. My lady and I had this, my lady and I discussed that with a woman being a pastor in a church and a congregation where there's men in the congregation as well. And I said, it's not be God, it needs to be that way, that men preachers or pastors, that they're meant for a woman to be that. And she told me that Jesus didn't say that, that it's not coming from God. It was because Paul said that's not the case. And so that even if it didn't come out from the word directly, it's still God, when God intended for a woman to be a pastor.
Okay, that's a very good question. We'll answer that right now. Thank you for calling. We'll go ahead and let you listen over the radio.
All right, thank you, Doc.
Thank you for calling. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 describes that a pastor, overseer, shepherd, bishop, whatever name you want to refer to them as, because they're all used interchangeably, is to be the husband of one wife. Husband of one wife. So therefore, that eliminates, I don't know of a single female that I know that is serving the Lord that would refer to herself as a husband. So that would eliminate all women.
And if I understand the question, and so just kind of expanding on this, I thought he was talking about, I think he was having a discussion with a loved one, and they said that because Jesus didn't say it, because Paul said it and not Jesus, then, you know, then maybe it doesn't hold true, because Jesus, you know, Jesus never said that. I think that was what I heard. And Jesus was the one that appointed the apostles. And their job was to carry his message. And so the apostles were not to carry their own message, but rather the message of Christ. They were inspired of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But what Paul is offering is not the words of Paul, but rather the words of Christ. And we find that in both 1 Timothy and also in Titus.
We have Kim calling in this question. Should I tell my spouse if someone hits on me? And it's not talking about physical hitting, but talking about someone flirting with them. I thought about that, and I was wondering, and as I have tried to apply that through the years, not that that's ever happen. But in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about the description of the home and how it's supposed to be. It says in Genesis 2 that the order is that a man should leave father and mother, be joined to the wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I believe that with a husband and wife and a family built by God's design, if one suffers, they both should suffer. If one is going through an experience, then they both should understand or be understanding that that's going through as well. Now, if we're asking for it, well, then you might not want to tell them. But if you didn't ask for that flirtation, then yeah, there would be nothing wrong with talking to them about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, it talks about that love, if we love someone, that we'll be patient and kind, not envious, boastful, proud, haughty, selfish, or rude. We will believe in them, is suggested as well. We'll bear all things, believe all things. So, in order to help you to let your wife love you as she should, then she should know what's going on. That'll help her to believe in you, especially if she understands so that things like that are going on. And I know that's very common in the workplace, and I am very sorry that's the way the world operates. Kim, I hope that's been helpful to you. That's 1 Corinthians 13 and Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 through 27.
You know, just kind of a side point, you know, as Ricky was talking and answering that question, he touched on the idea, you know, of making sure you're examining yourself and make sure that you're not doing anything to invite such attention. And I almost got to thinking about my own life. You know, is it possible that we get so comfortable with those we work with or those we're around that we become somewhat naive and not realize that while you may be thinking just friendship, that they may be thinking something else? And so we want to be very clear about where we stand, about our loyalty to our spouses, and most importantly, our loyalty to the Lord, so this is not something that the Lord would promote at all. And so we just want to make sure that as we interact with people that we stand very, very strong and very clear about our commitment to the Lord and to our spouse.
Absolutely. Well, we are just about out of time. We do want you to know how much we appreciate your joining us today as we've gone to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. One thing for certain, when all is said and done, the final words are going to be said by our Lord. And we all want those words to be something like this: "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you give you responsibility over many things." We need to be faithful to God, our Lord, and we need to make certain that we're walking in the path that He has given us, walking in the light. And that all begins when we believe, repent, confess, and are immersed with Christ into His death for the remission of our sins. And then He will add us to His church, His kingdom, that we'll be able to live and reign with Him forever if we are faithful, even if it means death. And so let's stay this course. Let us follow this course so that God will be glorified and He will honor us in every way. I know that you have a desire for having fulfillment in this life. Please know it will not come through the acquisition of things. It will not come from church doctrine. Won't necessarily come from family alone. The true fulfillment, the true blessings and the treasures that God intended for us to have in this life are actually in the next. And so in the meantime, while we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, the blessings will roll here as well. So don't miss out on these. Please, let's focus on God, focus on heaven, and let's let God have His way in our life as we let the Bible speak.